Yes, and the first thing?
Just explain that we took the figure from notes that were taken at the hearing presented by the North Slope Borough attorney. Mm-hmm. And there was no basis for it, but my understanding is they did send you a letter explaining that it was $382,000 instead of $385,000.
Right.
So ours was an arbitrary figure.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, they in Abrams it came up to $382,028, and I guess the other thing that he says in his letter, which I think probably is a concern to some of us, is that this only includes the current assessed value and not, you know, the estimates of those values in as they're developed or something else would happen there. So. Has the committee got questions regarding the letter from Avram Gross?
Oh, I disagree with it, but I have no question.
Okay, is there anyone here that would like to testify on Senate Bill 407? Okay. If not, then what is the committee's desire for 407?
Madam Chair, I'll move on Senate Bill number 407 with individual recommendations.
Okay, that's unanimous consent. Is there objection? Okay. All right, and then the next bill that is before us is committee's, the second sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 414. And the reason that we have a second sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 414 is this morning when we were when I was reviewing it prior to the committee, we had a sectional analysis from Pam Cook that showed that she had some concerns regarding some of the ways it was drafted, and we checked with Senator Ferguson and asked if he wanted a committee substitute or if he wanted to have a sponsor substitute, and he said he preferred to have a sponsor substitute. And so we have that here before us. Yes, okay. Senator Ferguson.
Madam Chair, on sponsor substitute number 414, the second sponsor substitute, I'd just like to say that from my understanding, I wasn't privy to Mike Scott and my staff working this out with DNR, with representatives from Anchorage, with their request in here. And I think Anchorage's amendment that was placed in here needs to be modified somewhat. And I would like to have Anchorage come up here first.
Move it first.
No, because it's a sponsor substitute, so it's already before us.
Oh, it is before us.
Because it was read across this morning.
Chairman, when they come up, I'd like to also have them tell me we should get the drafter or whoever it is, because they got me thoroughly confused with the sections and the citations of the chapters are totally changed from the first sponsor substitute to the second sponsor substitute. We're talking about 2965015 determination of entitlement, and then the first sponsor substitute,
okay,
it's 2965020. And do we have improper citations in the first one, or
no?
I couldn't follow it.
Yeah, my understanding was Mike Scott took the recommendations of Pam Cook and placed them in the committee substitute, and I believe she's here and can answer those questions. Mm-hmm. But Mike and probably Ned from DNR put the rest together.
Okay, all right. Tim, why don't we have you come first, if you don't mind, and address maybe Senator Coghill's question, and then also I understand you had a chance to review the second sponsor substitute.
Yes, Madam Chair, I have had a chance to look at the second sponsor substitute. It seems to me to be fairly well based on the House CS that CNRA just came out with this morning, and it's been printed also. Mm-hmm. There are several changes between the two bills, but it largely follows that CS, and I did work on that CS and also attended the committee discussions on that bill. Mm-hmm. With respect to the question that Senator Coghill had about the very first section, This bill takes what I believe was contained as an amendment to existing 020, which dealt with entitlements to cities, and existing 025, which dealt with entitlements to new municipalities. I believe that's, no, I'm sorry, 030, and combine them into one new section, 015, because there's no longer a distinction under the sponsor substitute between entitlements to cities and boroughs. So I thought it would be less confusing to repeal the sections that formally dealt with entitlements to cities and just set up a new entitlement provision under Section 1. So under this particular draft, the existing law which provides entitlements to boroughs is 010. That has not been repealed. It's still there. This one, Section 1 of this bill, would provide a new Section 015, which would deal with entitlements to boroughs, cities, and newly formed municipalities. And then under Section 2, you would discover that any given municipality, whether it be a city or a borough, qualifies for only one entitlement, either the one under 010 or the one under 015, depending on which is larger. The ones under 010, for those of you whose memory can use some refreshment, is the entitlement that exists in the law that sets out a per acreage amount for each borough. If that turns out to be larger than their 10% calculation under 015, they'd stick with their 010 entitlement, presumably.
Senator Coghill?
Pam, then tell me, how can we put in there that we refer to entitlements of 010?
Mm-hmm.
And yet we're repealing it.
No, we don't repeal 010. We only repeal B of 010. And subsection B was a phrase that was added as a result of the municipal code revision, saying that these entitlements are only a continuation of former law. These entitlements are no longer a continuation of former law under this sponsor substitute, because some municipalities that haven't gotten entitlements will now qualify for entitlements under this bill. So we no longer have a continuation of existing law provision. We do have, under the limitation of entitlement section, the notation that any conveyance that a municipality has received under any of the former land grant laws goes towards calculating the fulfillment of their entitlement under this draft now.
All right. Then, Madam Chair, mm-hmm. and also then, Pam, under this, it doesn't change the intent, which you, I think, helped me draft. Was it 406? Was it the one that had to do with the Anderson? We never did get it in, because 460, because this one came ahead of it. We've got it in here now that any municipality that expands its boundaries gets its entitlement.
The way this bill would now operate, the Anderson problem would be taken care of, sir.
Yes. All right, and or any other like that in the future.
That's correct.
It's no longer do we have that cutoff date, so that
right.
we can encourage local governments to form their cities, and they will get a reward by getting a part of the entitlement as their revenue base.
That is correct. The 1978 cutoff date to which you're referring has been repealed in this bill.
I was so confused trying to get into the new second sponsor substitute, but I just wanted to make sure that if that's there, why, I guess I really don't have too much problem.
Now, Pam, did you say there was, or Pam, you said that there was a part that was a little bit different than the one in the House? And would you
yes.
point that out to us, and then we'll see if
there were a few differences that I detected between this sponsor substitute and the version that the House CNRA committee just passed out.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are not so significant. But, for example, Section 5 of the sponsor substitute that you have before you deals with school and mental health land. The House CNRA committee became very concerned about freezing the status of mental health land and not allowing any of that mental health land to be selected as entitlements. And so, consequently, they made this provision, which is word for word the same as the House version, but they did give this an immediate effective date. This bill does not have an immediate effective date for Section 5. So there's that difference.
Okay, just before you go on, let me ask Senator Ferguson if he wishes to include that in his bill, or you wish to make your bill as it is.
Okay. $100 million in here.
I have no preference one way or the other.
Okay, all right. So, probably for mental health Senator Strzemski, do you have comments as we've been working on this?
Mental health, I believe, should not be included.
Right. And what Tam is saying is that in the House version, this part about selecting the mental health lands has an immediate effective date rather than the later effective date. And that, I think, would confirm then with what you're saying is that, you know, you don't feel that this should infringe on the mental health lands. Is that, that understand you right,
that's
Senator?
That's right.
Okay, so we probably then, maybe we'll need to, I don't know if you want to come up with a third sponsor substitute or if you want to come up with a committee substitute, so go ahead. Okay, that effective date, all right.
And Madam
Tim, what is the other?
Yes, and Madam Chair, if I may, Section 4 of the sponsor substitute is entirely new language that does not exist in the House version at all.
Okay.
This section, as I read it, will allow a settlement of the entitlement for the municipality of Anchorage, so long as that settlement is reached prior to January 1, 1987. Aside from some fairly minor drafting considerations, I probably would have handled it in temporary law, for example, since this will cease to be of effect before the bill itself is effective, interestingly enough. But other than that sort of thing, I suppose my main concern with this is a question of whether or not it violates local and special legislation in that it provides for a settlement agreement to be reached with one municipality, and we're talking about a scheme of entitlements which is general in scope and that all municipalities participate. So I suspect that there's a question on the constitutionality of Section 4. The other thing
that being the case, why couldn't we just take out Anchorage and just put Commissioner of Natural Resources authorized to negotiate and enter into an agreement with any municipality over 100,000 population?
That approach would comply with the constitutional requirement. Allowing such an agreement for any borough would comply with the requirement. And possibly, I don't know what the status of all the unified municipalities might be, but it possibly could be drawn so narrowly that it would provide for this type of negotiation only with unified municipalities, which would maybe narrow the...
Well, if municipality is unified or otherwise, it's a municipality is a municipality.
That's true, but I'm just suggesting some ways of handling this as general legislation rather than local and special. But it's something that needs to be considered.
Senator Ferguson?
Yes, I think we're getting semantics here. I'd like Ned and Representative from the Anchorage Bureau to come up and explain exactly what their amendment does and what we're trying to do and whether we need to change the language that has been suggested.
Okay. Tim, did you have any more things that you wanted to...
Madam Chair, before I step down, there was... only two other changes between the bills that I noticed. They're quite minor. On page 4 at line 19, the may used to read shall. That seems to me to be an appropriate change. I expect that it's with the approval of the Department of Natural Resources. Okay. The only other change that I noted, let me see if I can find it here, is that on page 2 up at line 3, the word and between selected and conveyed, it reads or in the House version. My suspicion is that or is probably the better word there, but it's not a significant difference either. Okay. And those are the only differences I detected between the two bills.
Okay. Send the person on the last two changes. Do you have any opposition to having those included in the committee substitute? Okay. All right. Thanks.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
As the others move up front, let me point out, please, that I have proposed an amendment to it on page 2, line 22, to remove the material, all material through line 24. And actually, it's the last sentence that says after served, it should be unreserved.
After unreserved, but line 21,
it's actually,
right?
Eliminate the last sentence. And I think the gentleman will explain it. Language is not necessary. That's too specific and doesn't apply.
Madam Chair, my name is Ned Farquhar from the Department of Natural Resources.
And I'm Chip Dennerline, representing the Municipality of Anchorage.
The state and the Municipality of Anchorage are discussing right now a settlement agreement that springs from the fact that we don't have enough state land in the Anchorage area to satisfy what the municipality of Anchorage is entitled to. Our intention in bringing forward this language was to answer the question that Senators Fisher and Sturgiolewski brought up at the last hearing, which was about that potential agreement between the state and the municipality. Our attorney drafted that language and thought that it probably wouldn't violate the local and special rule, but I don't think we would have any objection, and I doubt that the municipality would either if it were made to be more general, so as to apply to unified cities or
boroughs
or anything like that. There's no one else that's really in the same situation that Anchorage is right now, lacking enough state land to meet their entitlement.
The Madam Chairman, members of the committee, the only thing I would add is that while we have been working on the agreement over this past year, we've operated under the assumption that the state had the authority to enter into an agreement. This really comes from, this language comes from the department if they feel that they need some indication from the legislature that they have authority to enter into such agreement. That's fine with us. Naturally, we would want any agreement that the state made with Anchorage to stick. The other point is that it really is a case where both sides are going to have to look at the offerings on the table and just decide that it's fair and decide that a deal is a deal. Because we, as Ned pointed out, there is not technically enough state land to satisfy Anchorage entitlement. The only, I would also speak for the amendment that I've seen that Mr. Fisher will offer, simply taking out the reference to money and acreage, and the reason that those floors and ceilings are taken out is that Anchorage does have participated through a congressional amendment in D2 with a Klutna corporation on certain lands in Anchorage, and this the way acreage is cited here could get confusing with that agreement. So simply to leave it as a negotiated settlement for the land entitlement within the Anchorage boundary, and then enacting Senator Fisher's amendment, deleting references to money and acreage, floors and ceilings, would, I think, give the department the authority they need and not cloud other land agreements that have taken place in the Anchorage area, particularly with a Native corporation.
Yes,
Senator Fisher.
Madam Chair, I would like to offer an amendment then rather than a written one. That Section 4 be revised to be of general applicability and eliminating the last sentence of that section.
Okay, and we can just do that when we do the committee session. Okay, is there objections to that? Last three lines there, and then it will be
take out
general,
Anchorage and make it general.
General, right. Yeah. Okay. Senator Sturgiolewski?
Madam Chair, through the chairs to Ned, what's the practical effect of this bill? I see we have a handout that deals with the potential additional entitlement for a number of the boroughs, and then the attachment with a number of communities not having received an entitlement. What happens to Anderson, for example, if land is made available? In there. They're able then to get it. So this is kind of open-ended, is it, for those communities that have not received land because there wasn't land around, I assume.
That's right, Madam Chair, Senator Sturgiolewski. Wherever we've got land within a community, they'll be able to get it now.
But what happened to those places that didn't get it in the first place? Let's take an Akiak or Chifornik or Anderson or Dillingham or whatever. If they did not get their land, why didn't they get their land, and do they get their land now?
Well, in some cases, Madam Chair, Senator Sturgiolewski, there isn't state land around these places that are zero entitlement communities,
mm-hmm.
So they won't benefit anyway. In other cases, because of the way the last bill was written, communities which got an entitlement back in 70 under the 78 law aren't entitled to any more if their boundaries expanded or if there was new acreage within their community since 78. That's my understanding of it. So what this bill does is to allow those people to get it where they couldn't get it under the pre-existing law.
Well,
Madam Chairman, to answer your question on some of them, also there's conveyance, Senator, of certain lands around certain cities that are going from federal lands to state lands, and that they're tentative, but they're not approved yet. And then once they get approved, then this is the case of Anderson. There's a bunch of federal land that's coming up that's going to the state.
I realize that. Yeah.
And once they get it, why they'll be able to then make their selection from that land. Well, and I think that's part of the problem we got, because the old law cut them off.
Right.
Off the date.
Mr. Farquhar, the major issue, reason people did not have land on these acres of entitlement would be because there was not land available. There are no other reasons they did not receive land.
Madam Chair, that's one of the major reasons, but I think it's also because some of them might have, some of the cities might have expanded their boundaries.
Okay, but
well.
That would be changed conditions then.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I'd like to, I don't know enough about the history of it.
All
to
right,
be
that's
able
one of the questions. This bill is going to resource. That's one of the questions.
Yeah.
I think we ought to have a clear record of what's happened and what's going to happen.
That's
so
right.
that we address and see that the legislation addresses the issues that are out there.
So
I'd like to know, there were some lawsuits apparently settled, some, you know, the different communities do different things. Are we making everything all right and whole for everybody or not? I don't know.
That's our intention, is to make everything
yeah.
whole. And I want to be sure there's no loopholes. That's
yeah.
what you're asking.
As I say, that's a question. I don't mean to hold up your legislation here, but it's one I want to pursue.
Another thing, Madam Chair, if I might. I spoke to the representative from the Municipal League today, who wanted to be sure that I mentioned on the record that what we have done in this bill is to try not to dictate any terms for consideration of issues that are still before the court on mental health lands. And we had a long meeting last week with representatives from the mental health advocacy interests and with Representative Gruenberg and some of the House side people, and we decided rather than try to define what kind of land was or wasn't available that's already been approved for conveyance by the state, we would just try to sidestep that issue and leave the issue before the court.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator.
Another one, I assume this was a policy decision. On your fiscal note, you're merely talking about implementation. You're not talking about suggested loss of revenue to the state of value of certain lands, and why was that?
Madam Chair, we approached it generally just to look at the costs that we would incur directly. It'd be difficult to guess what kind of a revenue impact there might be from this. You can look at both the value, the fee value of the land, and at the potential for generating revenue from timber or gravel sales. Whether or not the state actually benefits from those land management income, obviously the boroughs and the cities themselves might be able to accrue the benefits. So the state of Alaska, the government of the state of Alaska might not get the revenues, but the people of the state in one way or another probably will.
Okay, further questions, comments from the committee? Yes, Senator
Let's go to page 3 of this new bill. And what's the purpose of your adding that section 2B where you're going to pay them $1,000 an acre if there's an equal to difference, one third of the population, and say down the bottom, say by the commissioner under former 1810, beginning with the year 78. Why are we going back to 78?
Madam Chair, I might defer to Tam Cook
okay,
on that
Tam.
One.
Madam Chair, if I might, this is strictly a technical amendment that's necessary because if you see the bracketed language, you'll notice that it says the population is to be determined in accordance with 2965060F. Well, 2965060F is repealed in this bill. So what I did as a drafting matter was delete reference to 2965060F, and the underlying language is what 2965060F provided. So you don't have to go back and look. This is what the existing law is on the subject.
Okay. And then the $9 million.
That, of course, Madam Chair, is already in law.
I know it is.
So.
But and that's continuing now.
That's
it's
right.
It's open-ended now. Before it was boxed off.
That's right.
Now it's open-ended. So let's just, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Let's just use an example like Yukon-Koyukuk School District becomes a borough. That's one of the biggest school districts. It takes in the whole Koyukuk region and the Yukon region. It goes all the way from the Yukon, but that becomes a borough. They would have a tremendous entitlement. And we're on a downslide of revenues. Do we still want to have the fee in lieu of?
Madam Chair, this is something that...
I mean, it's a policy statement, isn't it?
I think it's up to the legislature. The Department of Natural Resources had initially recommended, at least in Hess, that this payment in lieu of issue or provision be deleted from the law. But we thought, first of all, that the only community which was going to need it was Anchorage right now, that we could tell. And we thought rather than cause concern by deleting it, we would discuss it with Anchorage and see whether or not we wanted to delete it.
But they're taken care of over here in Section 4.
That's right.
So why should we have it? Why should we still continue that? We got more land than we've got money now.
Yeah.
And is it a policy situation that we
true.
Need to take
care of?
I think it's a policy decision.
I'm not asking you to answer a question. I wonder why we're keeping it in. Maybe redoing this, that we ought to make a policy change and take it out.
The one caution I would offer is just that I think you ought to, rather than simply eliminate it, if you consider that, is you ought to consider grandfathering Anchorage so that they don't feel like an option that they've depended on is taken away.
Or any existing, any existing municipality and lock the door for new ones.
That's
I could
probably
see
fair.
Under the declining revenues where there could be a raid by some sharp minded people, they could get their percentages together and we'd be in trouble.
Well, that's a good concern from our point of view.
If I may through the chair, the payment for land efficiency section right now in existing law only applies to 010 type entitlements, which is to say entitlements to boroughs. And those are all, since they're set out in 010, by definition, they're all existing municipalities. So if you want to grandfather them in, then you might as well just leave the section as is, because it only applies to the boroughs that exist now, those 010 entitlements. If a new borough is formed, the legislature always has the option of not adding their name to the 010 entitlement list, but rather treating them under 015 entitlements as a new municipality, letting them get the 10% of their land. Those types of entitlements don't get payment for land deficiencies. The cities never qualified for payment for land deficiencies, for example.
Okay, well, I just have a concern there that if we don't add their name to the list, I could see another endowment for a bunch of attorneys. You know, here we go into another suit because they're not being equally treated.
Sir, but if the time comes when we have a new borough to add to the 010 type list, at that point, you might choose to delete the land deficiency provision. At this point, unless you wish to repeal the provision so that it will not affect Anchorage, if you're going to grandfather in the existing boroughs, there's no point in repealing it.
Tim, you're going to have to come up because they're not picking you up on the repeal. I'm sorry. So do you want to address it, sir? Do you want to come up with a suggestion?
I don't want to get crossways with Chip or anything. I mean, that's not my purpose. My purpose is that I see that Madam Chairman, I see that this is a, you know, if it's going to serve the purpose of keeping it in until they get their settlement squared around under Section 4 of the bill, then let's leave it in. But if it's going to, but I think down the line, I think that we have to have a flag on it because I think it's got to be taken out of there sooner or later. And the better.
Could you could change that section and have a later effective date or something on it? Could you do that?
Well,
if Madam change it? Yes,
Senator.
Sure,
I think that, Tam, can't we make that a transitional section that drops out once that it's accomplished? Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
Yeah, there's a way to do that. Surely there's a way
to
do that.
Yeah, you'll need to come up.
Sorry, I don't project. Maybe you can stay if you like. I'll just kind of bend over your shoulder. For the record, this is Tam Cook. I don't know what you'd accomplish by doing that, because you have to bear in mind that the Section 4 settlement language is it only allows this agreement, assuming that it can be negotiated and entered into prior to January 1, 1987. So this Section 4 is a very temporary section. It, in fact, goes into existence before the bill takes effect. So I don't see what would be served by repealing 2965080 on the effective date of this bill, when we don't know yet whether that settlement's going to exist or not, but the possibility of entering into a settlement will then be over. So Anchorage will either need 2965080 or nobody will, but we won't know. And 2965080 now only applies to existing municipalities. So the notion of grandfathering it in is hard to understand for me.
I guess it's all right, because it's just sloppy law.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. We will have a committee substitute then that will come back to us with those changes. Maybe decide, look something else we'll be sure to remember. Is there anyone else here that would like to be heard on the second sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 414? Yes.
I'm Chair Scott Burgess with the Alaska Municipal League. I don't have anything to add. I provided written testimony. We're in support of the bill. It seems like you're into just specific language dealing with specific situations that are beyond our testimony. We have no problems with the discussion that's gone on so far. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
It's all been said.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anyone else?
Okay.
If not, then we'll go to Senate Bill 448. And we have this bill before us also, and the department was requested to furnish the committee an analysis, and I think the department wants to talk to us about it, right? Is that right?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Ferguson.
Are we going to have a committee substitute made up then before the bill out?
Yeah, on 414, yes, we'll have a committee substitute in the next time we meet.
To expedite matters.
Well, Senator Copeland has that question.
Madam Chair, it's going to come to resources. It's got a long way to go. You're not going to have a meeting on Thursday. It's going to be next Tuesday, and I've had staff doing some work on it. Senator Coghill sits on that committee.
Oh, he does.
And by golly, he's never, ever not taken an opportunity to bring up an issue he cares about. So why don't we move the bill, and then we'll have it and get started on our 5-day and all that stuff.
I didn't realize that he was listed on resources, so you'll pick it up at that time.
I sit on rules, too.
That's just not fair.
All right, Senator Ferguson, then I'll entertain your motion.
Now, Chair, I move that we move out. Second sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 414.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 414.
Yes, for Senate Bill 414 with the individual recommendation.
Okay. Is there objection? If not, then okay. Thank you. All right. Now we will jump over to Senate Bill 448. And Commissioner?
Okay. Thank you. As the committee requested, we drafted up an analysis of what the impacts this legislation would have on a number of areas: borough formation, unification, coastal resource service areas. There were potentially two areas where this bill, if implemented, could cause some problems in
Madam
borough.
Madam Chair, do we have a handout on this? Would this be it?
Yes.
Okay. You had a question.
Yes, I know I did. This is
regarding, whether this would influence unification and organization, and this is what he's addressing now. This is the letter we had gotten. Now he wants to address that letter and I think maybe make some changes or something. But this is the letter that we had received in office.
There are potentially two areas where if this bill was implemented, could have some problems with borough formation and unification. In the borough formation, it would change the petition requirements. In the unification one, it would require an affirmative vote within the geographical area of that home rule. I have taken the liberty of having some amendments drafted up that would mitigate those two issues and make copies available.
Madam Chair, the liberty was not too freely taken. I asked him to do so, so it's not as
You just rolled over.
It's not as if he was intruding into legislative business.
You just rolled over.
Just a nice guy.
But the First Amendment keeps the same petition requirements for the borough and accepts home rule municipalities that are have less than 600 residents and are formed after...
Wait a minute, now, is this adding new sections to, or is this on the, these amendments on the bill? Section XXX. Oh, so we're going to have... Oh, I see now what you're doing. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that you... Okay.
What I did, Madam Chair, is I went directly to the Title 29 where it speaks to borough formation and speaks to unification. And again, we have a problem. We keep putting June 31st, and I apologize to the chair for that. That should be June 30th.
Okay, so now what? Let me back up here to see now where we are here. Now, these two amendments then would remove the maybe problem on formations of borough if Senate Bill 448 would become law. And it would say, okay, so that they would be treated as a second-class city, where so you wouldn't have to have the dual, you wouldn't have to have the dual of, you know, 15% in the home rule as well as in the proposed area.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
You just have to have it in the whole borough area. Is that right? Am I understanding what your amendment does?
Yes, it would mitigate any impact this would have on borough formation and leave the requirements for the petition the same as it is now.
I'll just say for myself that this certainly is consonant with the intent of the bill itself. That we didn't intend to for this to affect the education powers of a borough, I certainly don't have in mind that we should make it more complicated for a new borough to be formed.
Let me read the second one. And then on the second amendment, where it says a home rule city with less than 600 residents that adopts a home rule charter after June 31st, 1986, shall be treated as a second class city. So, what does that mean? That means then that.
Well, second class cities do
only
not
have certain powers, but yet we're giving them additional ones.
No, all you're doing is that for purposes of borough formation, they're treated as a second class city, which means that.
That's on the first one.
The second does the same thing.
Same thing.
It's for a different amendment.
That's for a different purpose.
That is
purpose.
To do the same
right.
thing in a different
that's
section
the,
of
that's
the
That's for the unification, though, the second one.
Right.
It's for the unification, right? Rather
right.
than it's
right.
then for the borough
right,
formation.
Chair. It's yes. for a different part of the law that deals with unification, but it does the same thing as the first one in that instance.
To me, we're just really muddying that up. I guess that's my concern, you know, is that, you know, we want to let them do certain things, but yet when it conflicts with something else, then we want to be sure that that's not taken care of. And it just seems like we're just making a maze here for, you know, for people to understand what they will be able to do and what they can't do and what else happens. And that's, I guess,
well,
a concern.
The,
yes,
Senator, the purpose, of course, is to give the communities increased authority to manage their own affairs. What these two amendments would do is to say that while they're given these authorities to manage their own affairs through home rule, they're not given any additional powers, you might say, to affect the affairs of the entire region. In other words, this is strictly for local home rule and not to affect the area-wide organizational.
Yes, Senator Sturgeon.
Of course, Vic, and I know where you're going, and I'm sympathetic, but the idea, and I still think we made a perhaps not the wisest decision last year with allowing for creation of a whole lot of little REAAs. People want to have their education. They want to have maximum local control. But the practical matter of a little community of 200 or 300, a little pocket, just simply can't do it for those kids. And to break up that system out there that is such a period of flux, it can go any way. I just really see a problem where if they can take on a whole lot of these little units and take on education, that just doesn't seem right.
But this doesn't include education.
What?
Because I remember we excluded education.
Yeah, they did.
You excluded education.
We did? But
that's one of the things I think they want at some time.
No,
where did we do that?
In the Bain bill.
It is only for planning, platting, and land use.
Where does it say that? I missed that.
Right.
Okay, it is.
It's on the second, on the bottom paragraph of
third class borough. That is.
Section 3 on page 2.
Then continue
Senator.
Going for the next one. The first one is in a third class borough, and then the next one is in an unorganized an area that's outside the borough.
Home Rule City with less than 600.
And that is outside may establish, operate, and maintain.
I can't see that far.
What am I reading? It says.
Okay, see, it puts it in three different places. The first place it puts the Home Rule City that can do those things in a third class borough. That's section 2. And Pam, if you follow along and be sure that I'm interpreting this right. And then in the third section, it puts it in an area that's outside of a borough.
I gotta go to rules.
Oh, okay.
I have to leave at 4:30.
Okay. And then the next one puts it in an area.
Madam Chair, since we're breaking up, let me suggest that, and we can't move this right now anyway, that we make sure that this does not automatically authorize education to be established by a small community.
That's what I thought that, I thought it said they could.
Well, as I read it, I think it's possible, and let's take a look at it.
Yeah, the language is may, so that's that option at the community.
Well, I know it, but that's what I'm saying. They may, and that's what people want. We want to educate our kids, and you can't do it.
Right.
As a product of a one-room school, it ain't the way to go.
We'll bring the bill back.
What I might do is I'll prepare a draft committee substitute that deals with this and incorporates the other amendment that...
Okay. All right, and then we can take it up next time. Okay, thank you. Did anyone else want to speak on 448 before we adjourn? Okay, if not, then committees adjourn. Thank you.
Sorry, Madam Chair, but you have...